The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2022, Living Liberation, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join or making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, you can visit libraplanet.org/conference.
In this hour, I will be talking about a GNU program, which is called GNU Poke, which indeed it is an extensible editor for structured binary data. So let's get with it. First, I will do a small introduction on the program. I will explain the motivations that drove me, to start the project. Now it's not just me working on it, there is other people. And then I will basically show it a little bit to you, how it works, what it does. Now, the program initially was small, and it used to be possible to introduce it in a talk in 30, 40 minutes and show everything that it can do. But unfortunately or fortunately, now that's not longer possible because the program is now much bigger. And it does many things, many different things. So it is not possible to show them all in a single talk. But I will try to give you, the flavor, and of how it is to use this program, and maybe it will be useful for you. So then, after that, I will talk a little bit about the project itself, about the POC project itself. Then I will give you a few pointers to URLs, and where is our homepage, the IRC channels we have, other community-oriented stuff that we do, and so on. So let's get with it. Introduction. Okay, first of all, motivation. So this program is a binary editor, and I got the idea of writing it, and I felt the itch, of writing this program 2 or 3 years ago, because during my job, I found myself, and I still find myself very often in the need of picking right at binary files, several sorts of binary files, mostly shared objects, executables, and so on. So I used to write scripts like the one that you can see in this slide. That basically use like utilities, like in this case, object dump, and then DD, and so on, and the calculator, and the shell, of course, itself, in order to extract information from those binary files, operating that information somehow, and then patch that information back. This works. I mean, you can use it, and I spent many years actually doing this. But it's not a very satisfactory solution for many reasons. For starters, it's quite fragile, right? Because if some of the programs that you use, like the object dump or the minutils program, if they change the way they work or how they print the information on the terminal that you parse in your scripts, then your script breaks. So then you find yourself continuously and constantly having to update your dirty your little set of 30 scripts, right? Like this one. So then I thought, well, it sounds to me that that I needed something better. So then I looked around, and then I looked for binary editors, right? Or binary manipulation, I don't know, libraries or anything. Actually, anything was good for me. And then I found some programs. For example, there are some Elf shells. So those are programs which are specialized to hack and to manipulate, to read and to write and to change binary files or binary data of some particular flavor or format. Like, for example, there is an Elf shell, which is a program that is quite nice, actually, and it knows about Elf files. So it knows about the contents of the Elf files, and it knows about the sections, the segments, all the flags, the header, everything. So if you install that Elf shell program, then you can manipulate your Elf files in a quite nice way. The problem with that kind of tools is that obviously they are hardwired to manipulate some particular format. In this case, the Elf files. So it is too specific. Not good for me, because I not only work with Elf files. I need to manipulate other kind of binary files. Then there are the let me call them like simplistic. Well, simplistic. It might sound like the depreciative, a depreciative adjective, but it's not. I mean. Or simple. Simple is better. Simple binary editors. Those are the normal binary editors that everyone knows, that you open a file and then you get all the bytes, right? And then you can change the value of the bytes of the file. And many of them, they give you, you know, like this nice ASCII dump, you know, so you can see the printed representation of the bytes that you are editing. Those are nice too, but those are very simple. And those, most of them, are just byte editors, right? You can go and change bytes. Now, I don't want to change bytes. I want to change the value of an Elf location, for example, which, yes, it is composed by bytes, right? But it's not bytes. It's relocations offsets, for example, which have a sign, have an endianness, and many other details. So, yeah, the simple editors, they were not good for this purpose neither. Then I also found another kind of programs, which are parser generators. So let me explain this a little bit with, let me share. this is in the POC manual. Well, basically, with what I call the code compute and code is how do you work with binary data? Usually you do something like this, what you can see in this web page. You usually have to write a program. This is a little C program that actually decodes a 32 bits signed integer from some file at some position, some offset, then multiplies it by 2, and then it writes it back to the file. So as you can see, this is a process of 3 different steps. First, you have to decode or unmarshal your data. In this case, you have to read the bytes composing that compose this number, and then you have to order those bytes, taking into account things like endianness, and then only then, you have your data already decoded in a form, in a shape, in this case, a signed 32 bits number that you can actually operate it with. In this case, you can multiply it by 2. Now, once you multiply it, once you compute with your data, then you want to put the data back in the file. And for that, you have to encode the data. And this is what you will need in C to do, just to write back this signed 32 bits integer, to write it back in the file. You have to encode it, and for example, you have to take into account endianness and other things. So this is what I call, you know, the decode, compute, and code paradigm, basically, which is the normal one. this is messy, this is error prone, and look at this, all the code you need to massage the data until you can have in a format that you can do fun, interesting things with it. You have to do all this and all that, but what you are interested on is only that, right? I mean, you want to multiply something by two. So there are some programs out there, like for example, Kaikai Extract and other programs that allows you, that they allow you to describe the structure of the data, and then they generate this for you in many programming languages. Like you can generate decoders in C, you can generate decoders in, I don't know, in Java and in other programming languages. So basically those programs, like Kaikai Extract, they generate this for you, and they generate this for you, and then you can basically fill in the gaps. But that was not very convincing for me neither, because what I wanted to do was to open some binary data or a file, and then I would like to poke at it interactively and immediately. So I did not want a program that would generate a C parser, C encoders and decoders for some data structure that they would define. No, I wanted a program that, given some description of the structure of the data, would allow me to access and to manipulate the data immediately and interactively. And this is what I call the discrete compute paradigm, which is what POC implements. So instead of what we saw in the previous page, in POC you could just describe something like this. You write a description like this. I will show you right now how this works in practice. And then you can immediately start operating on that data. So you don't need explicitly to decode it or to encode it. You just describe it and you compute with it, and everything else is transparent. So those were like sort of my requirements, okay, back then. Okay, let me stop sharing my screen. So I decided to start a program that does that, because I could not find any existing alternative that was satisfactory to me. Because there were some stuff which were similar to what I was thinking about, but they were either proprietary, and of course that means that they are, I don't consider proprietary software as software at all, I mean, that's not an option, or not satisfactory for other reasons. So I decided to write this program. So I did. Okay, well, it was not an easy thing to do. Well, for several reasons. The first of all is that I'm not the smartest, in the class. The second is that this looks like something like is trivial, but it's not. When you as with many other domains in life, if you look at something near enough, right, everything is super complex, right, and of course not trivial. So it took a while to get something that actually makes sense and works in a satisfactory way. But I think that we made it, or we are in it. Okay, so before we get into it very fast, GNU-POC is the name of the program, right? POC with little p. And yes, this is a joke, because of the remembering, the basic POC and PIC commands. But then we will see now that this program implements a domain-specific language. This domain-specific language is called POC with big P. Since POC with big P and POC with little p, they sound the same, this is sometimes confusing, but so you know. And then a pickle is basically a source file of POC code that implements some particular domain, very often a format, a file format, or it contains utilities of to do certain things, like diffing utilities, diff.pk or so. Yeah. Okay, so let me show you the program. Okay, so at this point you should be seeing my terminal. Cool. POC itself is actually a shared library. It is a library which contains most of the functionality, but it ships with the POC application, with the POC program, which is a command line interface. So when you open it, you call it, you get greeted by a message. And then, okay, I have here my lines here, so I don't start debugging. Okay, so now Poke is waiting for commands, and then obviously I said, well, with Poke you can edit binary data. Where is that binary data? It can be in files, so you can do things like open the file, like bin.ls, for example. Now there is a command here, which let me, you know, which IO spaces, which are the entities being edited, as we call them, IO spaces, I have open. As you can see here, I just opened a file in mode read mode because I don't have write permissions in that file because it's bin.ls, and it is this size and this name. Very nice. Once I open an IO space, I can, for example, dump the bytes. Remember those simple editors that will actually show you things like this? Well, Poke is also simple in that sense. It also can do that. But we cannot only edit files. We can edit binary data in other media, in other supports. Like with mem, for example, memfoo, this creates a new IO space which is backed by a memory buffer, not by a file. So if we dump this IO space, it's all zeros there, and this is not the previous file, right? Info IOs. Now we see that we have one file and one memory IOs open. What else can we edit with Poke? Well, we can edit the memory of some running process. I have a top command running around here, and the process ID is 95316. So as you can see, now Poke has opened the bin.ls file, the full memory IOs, and also the memory of the running process top at this process ID. You can see that the size of the memory of the process is, this is a 64 bits machine, so the size is the 64 bits wide virtual address space of the process, which makes sense. Okay, so those are the open IO spaces. Now let's select the memory IO space. Well, actually, I could write to the memory of the process, but I will not, because I will crash it if I do it, you know, without knowing what I am doing. So now I have selected the IO space, which is the memory buffer, foo. Okay. So how can I access the information of the buffer? So I can, for example, ask for the byte at the offset 23 bytes, which is zero. No surprises here. It is initially zero. But I can also do some more interesting stuff, which is set the value of the byte at 33 byte, the byte 33, to FF. And then if I dump again, you will see that it changed in the IO space. If this was a file, this would have updated the file immediately. In a similar way, I can say something like, I can do things like the integer of 13 bits, yes, 13 bits actually, that's not a multiple of bytes, at offset 1 bit equals 666. Well, obviously, it's difficult to correlate it because we are using here bit offsets, and we are actually writing bit, not byte integers, right? So 13 is not a multiple of 8, and this works. Now, I could show you here that how to work with more complex structs, like for example. But instead of using the command line interface, I will exit Poke now, and I will run Emacs. Yes, and I will use another Poke interface, not the command line interface, but this is an Emacs interface. Why? Because I live in Emacs, and it's more convenient for me. Please note that this Emacs interface is 1 week old and it's a still work in progress. So if something crashes very badly, please be understanding. So, well, okay, so I just started Emacs and this is the Emacs interface, which is more visual. That's why I'm using it to show you, right? But it is more or less the same thing. You have the prompt, a prompt here. And if I wanted to edit again the L file, bnls, I do an open. As you can see, this is more visual because I have a buffer here, you know, that has the contents of the L file in this case. And then in this buffer, you can scroll it, right? And you can, as you can see, well, there are some visual aids here. Okay, but I just opened this file. So also, I could open the memory buffer. So I said that I could save things like byte at the offset 2 bytes equal 666, for example, right? Or, okay, AB, right? You see how it changed, right? Here. But of course, you can do more complex stuff. A structure, remember? But you can use structures. So I can say, for example, that a foo, structure foo, is an integer called I followed by a long called L. And then I could say that the foo at 2 bytes, just not a byte now, but a foo at 2 bytes, is a foo where I is equals 10 and long equals 20. Not long, L. As you can see, that it changed accordingly. Now, you can do more complex things like this, way more complex things like this. For example, let me open this buffer. This is an evaluation buffer, which is part of the Emacs interface that allow me to write, because in the prompt, you can only write one line at a time, right? Which is annoying. But for example, let's say that I'm working with some protocol, network protocol, and then, you know, this network protocol is composed by packets. And then each packet, the structure, the first there is a byte, which is a magic number for that integrity. And we know that the magic number must be equal to AB, for example. Then we have another byte, which is the size. And then we have the payload, which is an array of that number of bytes of data payload, right? Okay, so once we have this description written here, we evaluate this. You can also say, okay, what happens if I try to map, right, a packet at offset 0? It will fail. Why? Because you remember we said it has a magic number. You see, constant expression fails for field packet dot magic, because there is not a packet there. But if we say that byte at 0 byte equals XAB, then you can see here that, we got over packet. Similarly, we can say, for example, I want to write a packet, you know, at offset 30 bytes. Right, I don't specify the magic, but I say I want to that the packet is gonna have 4 bytes, right? This change in the IO space, you can see it here. And if now I map the packet at 30 bytes, you see that the payload basically now is an array of four bytes. Okay. Okay, this interface, it gives you an editor, actually. For example, if you do this, this means I want to edit the packet at that offset. And you see here, you get an editor, a nice editor here, where you can actually, for example, okay, let's pay attention. Let's say 1, 2, 3, 4. And then if I change this value, it will change in the IO space. You see, it just changed there. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes. So yeah, this is what I meant. You know, as you can see, there is no more decode, compute, the encode stuff here. The encoder and decoder is automatic. And this is not a binary parser generator neither. So obviously, this is fun. I mean, you can write definitions for those little packets and examples. But when it comes to edit like real binary data, you have to actually describe, right, the structure. So for that, this is where the pickles come to the game. In Emacs, in POC, I'm going to show you now. This is the source directory of POC. We distribute with POC a lot of pickles. Those are pickles. And as you can see here, we have ELF, an ELF pickle, of course, which contains pre-written and predefined definitions for many data structures that are common in ELF files, right? Like symbols, like dynamic section entries, like section groups, flags, section header tables, segment header tables, and the file itself. And look, you can also use methods, define methods, and everything. So how do you use a pickle? Well, I'm going to show you. Let me go back to the REPL. So let me open, again, BinLS. Oh, what happened? Oh, it's already open, probably. OK, let me see. Using this interface, we also have here a nice menu with the, yeah. So yeah. So now we switch to the ELF file. Fine. Now, to load the pickle, I say load ELF. So this loaded those all the ELF pickles, which are written in POC themselves, and that you can write your own, of course. So now the ELF definitions are available, right? So one of the definitions in the ELF pickle is an ELF64 file, right, which is a big structure, actually. So we can map it, can say bar ELF, equals ELF64 file at 0 bytes. Okay, this is the declaration of a variable. The POC domain specific language is actually a full-fledged programming language. So we have variables, we have all sorts of things, lambdas. It is a statically typed and lexically scoped language. Well, I like it very much, which is not surprising, but I think it's a nice language. Okay, so I loaded the ELF pickle into POC. So now POC is aware of all the definitions, right? So now I'm gonna define a variable with the ELF64 file at offset 0, because obviously the data starts at offset 0 in the file. So then of course this ELF thing here is exactly it is exactly like the, it was a little bit slow, you see? Like the packet at offset 0. Okay, this is my, okay, sorry. But in this interface, we have a list of mappings, right? As you can see in the right, and then in the bottom, in the output buffer at the bottom, you can see here how it shows the value that is selected here. So this is an ELF file starting at offset 0 bytes. Now, this ELF file, you see that it contains a header, you see below, and I can scroll from here, which is the data of the header of the ELF file. It has an array of section header tables. This is a section header table with all those entries, and you can see all those entries here. And those are the segments in the ELF file, right? So you can see this is the description of a segment in the ELF file. Yeah. Okay. Now the thing is the following. Here you can also edit them. Like for example, this, right? This is the program header number 4. Well, you know, the entry in the first, so it is the number 4. And we could vandalize this ELF file, you know, by changing, you know, any of the values. If I try to do it, I will get an error because this is BinLS and I don't have right access to it with permission. But anyway, you get it. Those are the mappings. Yeah, so you can basically navigate through your structures. So for example, remember the bucket? I could map a packet. I could do a non-strict mapping because remember the magic number, you know, and this is another file, so it will not. So you see, this is the this will be a packet, you know, mapped and offset the 0 bytes in the file. And as you can see, everything is adaptive, right? Because the size now it happens to be 69. Nice number, and then the payload, you know, is 69 bytes with those values, which we could edit as well, of course, right? If we come here, we could edit in terms of the packet. So this actually shows how the same data can be actually edited and accessed in different as different structures, because this is an L file mapped at 0 bytes, you know, with all those headers and everything. And this is just a little packet that we just defined at 0 bytes. So I hope that with this you can get the, again, POC is very big. You can do many, many things. For example, and many actually quite cool things. For example, if you say you have one packet at 0 bytes and you have another packet at byte 12, for example, if you load the div pickle, which again is a .pk file with POC code in it, so it's not written in C or in anything, this provides you a function which is called div structure, and then you pass p1 and then you pass p2. P2, and look. It generates a structure binary div actually let's make it more interesting. Okay, you get a structure binary div, you know, of what is different from one packet to the other, and this div output is written in POC too. So that's why this is extensible, because you can actually create even your own commands, right? Just by defining POC functions. So for example, I don't know how much time I have. Yeah, actually I think I have time. So I could define a function, compare packets, for example, that gets one argument, which is a packet that we defined before, p1, and then packet p2, then returns void, and then it does what we just did, right? In the which is it calls div structure a p1 b p2. Okay, this is. This is, okay, let's make it a little bit more interesting, because otherwise what a stupid command, right? Okay, let's make it print packets div, for example. Yeah, so then, you know, it does something more, you know, than just calling to the other command. So if we evaluate this, now we have just extended POC with a new function that you can use as a command. So you can say packet compare p1, p1, p2, p2. Oh, what was it called? Oh, compare packets, sorry. Compare packets. There you go. Well, you know, with the little addition. So this way you can extend the tool. You can support more formats, like binary formats. You can write your own more commands that very often will be useful for other people. So you can actually put them in a pickle, like in a .pk file, and send it to us in the POC project, and then we will add it to the POC distribution, so everyone can actually benefit from your pickles. Okay, let me see. because if I start showing things here, I will be here until tomorrow. Okay, I show the divs because those are very cool. I show, yeah, I mean, if I go to Elf, you will see that here there are many, just to show you, you know, a little flavor of how the description language works, right? But it's okay. I mean, oh, by the way, I did not show you the methods. Okay, well, wait a second. So we have been mapping an ELF64 file, right? An offset zero bytes. But what is an ELF64 file? Well, for POG, because we just loaded this ELF64, the ELF pickle, an ELF64 file is a header of this type. Then it is an array of a number of entries, which is determined by a field in the header, at some particular offset in the I/O space in the file. And also it's optional because this field, it only exists, right, if there is any number of entries if the ELF file contains some sections, otherwise it does not exist. So actually, I always use this as an example because those fields in ELF files are they use everything. They are optional files, they have labels, and they are arrays. Well, they don't have constraint expressions, but okay. And so an ELF file, ELF64 file, is a header, is a table of section headers, and it's a table of program headers. And then you see here that in POG you can define methods for your types, right? And then, yes, this is the ELF pickle. So this is, you know, the little child of my eyes, because I use this, you know, almost daily in my work. So it has a lot of methods, right, and a lot of things. But this doesn't mean that, for example, we defined before here our packet, and here we could define, okay, method. I don't know, something interesting here. I don't know, double size. This is a very stupid method, but okay. Byte, and then we return size multiplied by 2. Told you, it's very stupid, but okay. It's just for demonstration purposes. Oops. So, if I define, so of course, obviously, this size here, it will be the value of this field in whatever instance of packet that we are operating on, right? So if we evaluate this, and then we get a new packet here because we change the definition of the type, so we want to map another one here, and we can call double size. Ah, it's not double size. Okay, it's without underscore. Sorry, I am. My demos are bad. Double size, okay, 138 in decimal. Actually, let me change the output base. This is, by incidentally, this is the nice buffer in the Emacs interface to change settings in POG, so we can put the output base to 16. Yeah, and this is a bug in the REPL that actually only happens in very fast machines. Don't ask me why. I'm investigating. Anyway, so you can have methods. Okay, this was a stupid method, but sometimes the methods are very useful. For example, in the ELF file, you see that you have basically an array of section headers. Now, you can see here that each section header, the name is not a string. So the name is actually an offset into the data of some other section, which is a string table. So it gets, you know, it's convoluted. It's not trivial. So this means that, yes, I have this data, you know, which is hierarchical and everything is nice. But the methods are useful because you can say things like ELF, remember, ELF was this is a variable that contains the L64 file mapped at 0 bytes. Okay, so you can say, you can use one of the methods, which is get sections by name. Now this method get sections by name, you specify a name, surprise, and then it gives you an array of section headers for with the sections actually having that name, which is very handy, because if I wanted to access the contents of this section, I will do something like, for example, var text header, the entry 0, because I know there is only one in this L file. So then this text header is the section header. And then if I wanted all the bytes, stored in this section, I could say something like byte, how many bytes I want. Well, it will be textheader.shsize at textheader.shoffset. Why? Because those are, well, L files are, they work like this. There are, shoffset is an entry in the section header table entry that tells where in the file the data starts, and shsize is what is obviously is, right? And yeah, and this will be, okay, this will take a while. I don't know why this is so slow. Sorry about that. Hello? It's struggling. this was being a less. I thought it was a toy L file. Okay, it will come. And I think this is all. I mean, I will show you a lot more things, which is fun, but you will have to find it by yourselves, huh? Because otherwise I eternize myself here and people get upset. Okay, let me stop the screen sharing. Yes, okay, now I'm gonna pass like 30 slides that we will not use, okay? So don't be scared. Let me see how much time I have left, like 10 minutes. Less. Yeah, you see all those slides? That's my optimism speaking. Pretty printers. Oh, it takes a while for the slides to actually show in the screen. I just need like the 3 or 2 last slides. Oops. Okay. So the program itself, as you have seen, what is it? You have seen a command line interface. That was this poke, which is a C program. This C program is linked with libpoke, which is the component. It's another C program, but it's a shared library, which contains the incremental compiler of the POC language. It contains the implementation of what makes the I/O spaces possible, like the file I/O space, the memory I/O space, the process I/O space, and others that I have not shown you. And you know everything. Most of the logic is in libpoke. Now POC is just the command line interface. But also, we are actually integrating other programs, in particular other GNU programs. This is not in those programs upstream yet, but we are sending patches. And for example, for GDB, so from GDB, you can poke a data in buffers in the programs you are debugging. It's quite cool. Also in GNUtils, because I am integrating poke in the assembler. So in the assembler, you can specify data directives and you specify poke code. And also lately the family is growing because there is this POC daemon, which was added recently. Then you can connect to that daemon in certain channels, and then we call them POClets. And the Emacs interface I just show you in this demo today, actually this Emacs acts as a set of POClets that communicate with the POC daemon that is linked with libpoke. Also, we have binary utilities, because I have not shown you, but in POC you can write very easily filters, binary programs, binary utilities, in POC, in the language itself, in this descriptive language. And also we have the pickles. We have pickles for ELF, for DORF, for CTF, for some file systems, and so on. And hopefully the family, the collection of pickles will grow when you people write more and send them to us. So yeah, we are having fun, as you can see here. The architecture, I don't have time to talk about this. I think it's interesting, but not that next time. Now the project. Okay. POC is a GNU program. As such, it's developed by the GNU project. I am the GNU maintainer. I have the donor of this program. And then, well, there is a group of hackers, of GNU hackers, who hacked in the program, right? It is part of the GNU system because it's part of the GNU project. And of course, the license is GPL version 3 plus, both applications and libraries. And that's not going to change unless there is a GPL version 4 in the future, or you see, or any later version. Those are the project resources. If you are interested, if you like what you saw, I'm not talking about me, about the program. Go to, this is our homepage. Obviously, the development resources are in savannah.gnu.org because this is a GNU program. We have a development mailing list. All the development is done there. So please subscribe if you are interested. And we have a channel POC in the IRC, in libera.chat. And also, there is a website which is community-driven called POCology, where we have like practical information. It's sort of, I like to think of that sort of the Emacs wiki, you know, of POC, right? Sort of. We released recently version 2.1, version 2 actually, and 2.1, which is a bug fix release. Tomorrow we'll be releasing 2.2, another bug fix release. But of course, since we released version 2, we are already working on version 3, which has a lot of new exciting things, including the daemon and so on. They are in POC 3. If you want to try the latest and greatest and funniest and, you know, and more unstable, you use the master branch in the Git repo. And other POC-related projects and applications are popping up around, like the POC daemon, like the POClets, and some other user interfaces. A text user interface is being made by another person, and so on. Because, oh, well, this is nice. If you are interested, you are, of course, welcome to hack with us. I'm done. Thank you very much for your attention. So I don't know how the questions and answers work. Is the streaming going well? I mean, are we in the present now, or
we are delayed, but people are actually I think 25 minutes delayed.
Oh. Okay, well,
we have some comments. For example, Li Rao from Libreboot that says it reminds them BinCFG on Core Boot Tools, I think, and who says that they might use this for his own purpose.
Very nice. I like to. I love to hear that. Yes.
I think the good thing to do is to take questions from the IRC channel on the
remote. Oh yeah, stream. What should I do? Should I go to the IRC and use the stream now? Because this is a little bit confusing.
Yes, I think that's better. We will close the stream now and.
Perhaps
go to the channel. They do not finish the stream at this time. They are very delayed. They are at the middle.
Yeah. Okay. Well, actually, the next talk should start, right? So
now there is no next talk on this room. So
what? It's so I could have used like one more hour.
No, but it's okay if we finish the it. So thank you, No, and see you on the IRC.
Sure. Ciao.
Ciao.